Hello and welcome back to the 85th episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LDG. A lot of you all have DMing me asking for more content regarding the upcoming USL Super League, which kicks off this Saturday. So as your host, of course, I had to listen to you, my beloved fans, and listen. So we're going to be previewing the Spokane Zephyrs inaugural season. I wanted to start first by introducing you to the club at hand. I want the background and origin of the club was it was founded by the brother club, which is the Spokane Velocity, and they play in the USL League One, which is the men's league for the USL Super League that it's attached to. In addition, the club's colors are light blue and white, and the logo shows the fierce winds that Zephyr FC hopes to be when they get touch on the pitch. For those who don't know, Zephyr, as defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is a breed from the wind. And my guess from this name is that Spokane wants to make a change in how women's sports are regarded and treated in their local area. You may ask where they're playing. Well, they're playing at One Spokane Stadium, a newly built 5,000-seat seat arena for the upcoming Super League season and the men's team stadium as well. Spokane has seemingly invested a lot of money into their squad based on their gifted roster, which beautifully balances experience and youth. If I was leading the Spokane squad to set expectations, I would be hoping to finish in a playoff spot position while also shooting for a trophy in the inaugural season. I now wanted to move into a little bit more of the player and coaching side that you have a good idea of the brand and Spokane Zephyr identity off the pitch. Before we dive into the tactics section, I want to preface a few things. Firstly, it's obviously hard to predict how a team's going to play if they've never actually played together. There's no data or reference of Jo Johnson at the pro level. She's never coached professionally before, so we have no clue what style she wants to implement with these players. So at the end of the day, we are kind of guessing, and I like to make all my work very original, but a lot of this tactic stuff, just in this little segment about the coaching, I'm using it from Benji Wade of the Spokane Soccer Show's interview with Jo Johnson. A lot of it's my personal analysis, but just the beginning, it's a little bit more from that episode. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But first is about the members of the club. I mentioned Jo Johnson's the head coach. She was previously a college player, like Allie Rogers, who is my guest in the 80th episode of this show. And Allie talked a lot about how playing at the collegiate level really helps you when you transition into coaching because it gives you a way to connect to your players. So Jo will definitely have that. However, as I talked about, Jo has never been a professional coach before. She's only coached at the high school and college level, which shows, one, how this league won't just benefit bubble players to NWSL, it'll benefit coaches and give them an opportunity to coach professionally. And two, at a more club-based level, it's a worry for the Zephyr because they don't have that proven leadership at the pro level yet. But everything I've heard about Jo so far has been amazing, so I'm really excited to see what she does with the team. The club owners, or the majority club owners, are Katie and Ryan, who are bringing decades of business knowledge and leadership to Spokane, according to the website. Katie has worked with a lot of big companies like Amazon and Starbucks, and we talk about with Gotham FC, for instance, with Carolyn Tisch joining the ownership group after working with brands like Peloton and the Giants. Having that experience at big corporations is important, as it helps you not just on the pitch, even if you don't have that sports-specific experience, but off the pitch and building brands. So I thought that was really interesting. And Ryan is an investor and business strategist, which has, obviously, that means he has a lot of experience in these startups, and he's probably invested in a lot before. And at the end of the day, a sports team, it's not just a product on the field, it's an entertainment business, and these clubs need to take advantage of that and have the right leaders in the right places. We've seen the NWSL, how it goes really far south quickly. Even if you're the best players in the world on the pitch, if you don't have good leaders in the front office and in the ownership group, so that's really exciting for me. Okay, now moving on to the part I talked about where I was going to have to take a little inspo from what Jo said in that interview with Benji Wade at the Spokane Soccer Show. But Jo talked a lot about how she plans to play in a mid-block and wants to gain possession higher up the pitch, which could expose space in behind. She did mention that threat, but she wants to allow for a sense of dominance. She wants to spread the ball across the pitch confidently and allow players to play with the ball and be confident in possession. We know that oftentimes in the women's game, possession is seen as an afterthought, especially in American women's football, but I love to see that this league is taking a new approach and not necessarily mirroring how the NWSL plays in their more direct style, and I'm really excited to see if all teams go with this route or if it's just specific teams. But for the Zephyr side, having a coach in Jo who is clearly suited in that style of play will be beneficial for them, which is a good thing to have a coach that knows their identity, knows how they want to play from the beginning of their time as head coach. And also, as we talked about with Ali in our interview, the coaches are setting the tone for what the play, what they expect from the players, and the, also the brand of the club. This is the inaugural season for all eight teams in the USL Super League, and they're building their legacy from the ground up. And so these coaches have a responsibility to instill the right tactics and bring the right players together for those tactics for the side to gel on the pitch and ultimately succeed and win trophies. I don't know about you, but for me, the off the field stuff is interesting, but what we really care about, we're the women's soccer podcast. We analyze on the pitch, and I wanted to make a mock lineup for each of these USL Super League previews and just kind of go with the episode flow and analyze these players. So I wanted to start first in net. I have Izzy Nino being the primary keeper. I know she didn't have the best experience in Australia. She did go viral for that red card and had the not best goalkeeping rates that you'd want from a keeper, but unlike Hayley Cole, she has a good amount of professional experience in various countries, and playing abroad will help her with her possession style of play. Alyssa Borges is a very talented player who was drafted in the NWSL this season, didn't get a contract, but I think she'll definitely star in that left back position. We know she's very good up the flank, has a technical ability, and can play balls in the box really nicely, and I think that ability is going to be really valuable for her. Is depth at that fullback position, which is nice. Valorand, I think, could easily slot in there off the bench, but I'm going to give the nod to Borges for the starting left back role. The center back duo is one that's really intriguing to me because I think it's one that hasn't been talked about enough. Obviously, the other teams have had good success in that department as well with the recruitment, but Zephyr has done a very interesting job in bringing in two younger center backs who I really like, Sydney Cummings and Sarah Clark. Clark was a non-roster invite for the national team replacement and also national team replacement player last season during the World Cup, and Courage fans loved her. We're really disappointed to see her go. And we talk a lot about how that's a really good sign. Often players leave a club where they're respected and loved. That shows you how they don't just bring that star power on the pitch. You can see it, they bring a sense of community. When you're building a team from the ground up, having players like that, especially on a younger roster, is really important. And Cummings, being a player who's had experience all across the world, she played in Australia in the A-League, has played in Europe at one of the top divisions with Celtic, and also she's trained with many top clubs, being a national team replacement player for the Wave, and has played with other teams as well. So Cummings has a lot of experience across the world and can bring that back to the USL Super League. And Clark is a player who's dynamic. Her goal that she scored in the A-League obviously went viral, as she hit it from like way outside the box, but besides that, both these center backs are really comfortable on the ball, and if Johnson wants to play the high line that she talked about, she's going to need quick, pacey center backs who are confident on the ball, and Cummings and Clark check all those boxes. For depth, I think Thomas would be a great option off the bench. She doesn't have as much experience at the pro level as Clark as Cummings, which is why I gave the nod to those two over her, but it's good to see that the Zephyr side is considering depth, and they have, honestly, players. They're one of the only teams, in my opinion, who has cover at most positions, which is great. They have Valorant for fullback and Thomas for the center back role in the back line, and then Cole in net as a backup player, and there's obviously a lot of depth in the other lines of the pitch, which we haven't gotten to yet. Moving on to the outside back, McKenna Carr. This is a really great story because she's a hometown kid. She has a lot of experience in the Seattle area, was drafted by them this year, but didn't get signed. So I think this is a really great example of a player who this league will really benefit. The NWSL draft only takes 56 players. There's hundreds of players that apply to get drafted, and also many of them don't even actually sign pro contracts. So that really tells me how this league is going to be super important. Even for the players who do get a contract, it doesn't mean that you'll get a lot of limits. And as Abby Carcio of Meg just talked about frequently on her podcast, there's a need for a young player to get those minutes, or else a lot of their talents that we've seen at the college level won't transition well. Because at the end of the day, training is great, right? We've talked a lot about this on my podcast as well, but if you're not getting the game minutes that you need to succeed, that's really important. And moving on to the midfield, and speaking of game minutes, their starting defense midfielder, in my opinion, Sophie Braun, is someone who needs those game minutes. She signed with the Kansas City Current this season, was supposed to be an amazing pickup for them, but hasn't even touched the pitch under Vladko Andonovski. She comes back to the Spokane area after playing college ball at Gonzaga. She's a very physical player. She's quite demeaning, a tall presence. At the World Cup, she played more of a fullback role for Argentina, but I hope to see her get to play in that six role solely because the fullback depth is really great. For the Zephyr, they have players like Valorant off the bench, and then also Borges and Carr, who I expect to be the starters. Brand is very good on the ball, comfortable in possession. She can get the ball up the pitch really nicely. She has experience all across the North America area at the top divisions, playing with Leon in Mexico before she came to America, so she clearly has that experience in various departments. But that's good for me to see. And she reminds me a lot of Lena Zaftfein of Wolfsburg. She's very good at carrying the ball up the pitch, can play that 1-2 touch pass really nicely, and I think for her that's going to be a really great player. On the bench, I have Marley Canales, who played at UCLA. She was the first player signed to this club, which is why some people may be confused hearing me say that she's not going to start, but she is someone who can do well in front of goal. She had a good record there at college, but I don't think that there'll be a lot of room for her in the 10 position. We see a lot of players like Wayne Belotta, Emma Jaskaniak, and Tyce Reese in that attacking midfield role. So honestly, I'd rather see her play in the six. She's good defensively as well, so I don't think it'll be a problem, and that provides nice cover. Moving on to the center midfield role, Taylor Almers is someone who I would see preferably as a six, so they could play her as a double pivot. This is a kind of question mark role as a six or eight for me. Almers, someone who's really good on the ball, has lots of great attribute. She was a national relation player for the Spirit, and that ultimately earned her a contract there. She's someone who's good at making late runs into the box. She scored an amazing kind of like acrobatic volley goal for the Spirit against the Rain in her time there, and there's not a lot of opportunities for a player like Almer, who was a national baseball player, and she didn't find a way to solidify a contract after that year at the Spirit. And this is just another player, another case study of this general study that we've seen in the Super League, who hasn't had that opportunity to shine at the club level in the NWSL, and now she will. On the bench, I have players like Molly Rouse and also Katie Murray. Murray's a player who doesn't have pro experience, so I don't expect her to play a big role immediately, but she's a very promising young talent, has a lot of good abilities on the ball. She's played actually in a lot of different European countries. She went through the Dutch Academy, but when I mean pro experience, I think coming back to America and without that NWSL experience, considering that this league, we don't know if it's going to be super physical, and if it is physical, she won't be as great in this league, in my opinion, because she hasn't had that experience in one of the more physical leagues. Spain is a very technically gifted league, so is the Netherlands, but that physicality is lacking in that department. And I think that for her, even if she's a great technical player, which I haven't watched much of her game film on like these other players, I don't expect to see her getting those minutes right away, but at the end of the day, she's a player who can come in off the bench. But when you look at the midfield that they have with players like Braun and Almer, it's hard. There's lots of talent on this team. I've mentioned it time and time again, a lot of players ultimately won't get to start, and for a USL team, this team is really loaded. Honestly, I think this team could do well in the NWSL, but that's just my opinion. They won't like finish top, but they could compete. They'd be better than the Royals at this point, honestly, but yeah, I think Rouse, she has played in a lot of different clubs in England, playing with Lewis, London City, Lionesses. So she has that experience, though it was all at the championship. None of those teams played in the first division of England. Even just having that experience playing in the English style of football, knowing that this league, Joe Johnson has said repeatedly she wants to play possession style football. And if you're going to implement that, you need players who have experience doing that at other clubs. And to be frank, even though the back line does, and the midfield does a little bit as well, the front line in that respect is kind of concerning. So let's move on to that. The talent is really there. I'll preface that first. Like, this is the best front line in the league, in my opinion. If you have the attacking midfielder I'm going to talk about and that front line that I'm going to talk about, it's going to be amazing, right? I will preface that because this team is still, like, really good, right? It's a side that clearly has the ability to finish in front of goal. I want to preface that first because even though I may criticize it, like, the talent is there. The one question I have, though, is at the end of the day, you can't just throw people into a system that they're not made for, right? I'll start with my starting left winger, Amina Ekic, an amazing dead ball specialist, great left foot. She'll obviously put on the left wing. She could easily put on the right, though, and then cut inside on her left foot. Those wingers' roles, they're honestly, like, inverted. They could switch. It doesn't really matter. But I think the biggest thing of Ekic was she was the number one player. I actually made a list of when they announced that this was going to be a Division I league. I made a list of 10 players who I thought, like, oh, they're coming to the USL Super League and you need to make them, like, on your roster. And actually, this team has two of them. It has Taylor Ulmer, who's playing overseas, and also has Amin Ekic. And I think Cummings is on there as well. So it's three. Honestly, this size did a really good job because we know that the Super League, it's not going to really stand up in comparison to NWSL. There's been reports that it will financially. I'll be honest, I don't believe any of those for a second, because the NWSL has a $240 million TV deal. The Super League has one with Peacock that is probably a fraction of that. So the idea of them paying comp role salaries, that's a little bit sketchy. Maybe the player could make more in the Super League, but they'd have to be in the top end of the bracket in comparison to the bottom end. So overall, I think that this league was going to mainly target players who were overseas, couldn't make it in the NWSL, but had the promise to. I honestly am very surprised. I mean, Ekic did not get picked up by the NWSL team. I thought she was one of the best forwards in the league, or at least on her team for Louisville when she was in the league before she went overseas to Australia to play in Melbourne. But I think that bringing her back to the USL Super League in America was such a smart move. She's so creative on the ball. She has a lot of technical flair ability, good at dribbling at players. But this is where the questions come in, is a lot of their wingers are very technically gifted on the ball. But if you're playing in a more possession-based style of football, it's a lot more like tiki-taka, one pass that I'm expecting from Joe Johnson's style. So if you have players like Amina who are such dynamic dribblers, how did they play into the system? Not doubting, more merely just questioning that. And I think that's obviously not my job to figure out. It's Joe Johnson's. But getting a player like Ekic on your roster, that's an immediate, like, bolster, and it makes your team look so much better. For the backup left wing role, I have Jody Ukekele. Sorry, I definitely mispronounced that. But she has experience. She got drafted by the Seattle Reign, so she has some experience at the pro level. She's been in that camp. She's kind of gone in and out of the team, to be honest. And that's good from a starting perspective. Same with Marley Canales and McKenna Carr. They all have that experience, which I appreciate. And considering that some teams in the league don't even have that in their starting lineup, it's good to see that the Zephyr side is building out of that potential also on their bench, which is great to see. On to attacking a midfielder, I have Thais Reis starting there. She has experience with Orlando Pride, has played many games there in the past. She went over to Villarreal in the Spanish league. Her technical ability is immaculate, really good on the ball, a good finisher as well. I'm very proud to see a side in the US Super League go after players and get them from these amazing leagues in Europe like Spain. But I think the biggest thing about Reis' ability is she's going to be able to play off the wingers really nicely. Ekic and her counterpart in the wing, who we'll get to a little bit later, are really quick players who love the dynamic 1v1 space. And I think for having a midfielder, an attacking midfielder rather, like Reis to kind of tie everything together, to connect the midfield with the defensive part of the midfield rather with the wingers and the striker, is going to be a really great fit for the side. Reis is a player who has a good finishing ability. She's great in front of goal, which is nice to see. I think that the biggest concern that I have is not about who they have. It's getting minutes for everyone. There's so much talent here. Wayne Belotta is such a composed player, really technically gifted. We've seen this with a lot of Canadian players in the past. If you compare her to another Canadian attacking midfielder, I would look at someone like Diana Matheson. She's not super tall in size, but she's really good when she gets in front of goal. She can play that smart pass or finish. Sorry, that smart finish in front of goal. There's a lot of similarities, I think, across this roster. I mentioned earlier about comparing Braun to Lena Vatvin, now with Belotta to Matheson. Also, I would say even Taylor Ulmer to Taylor Flint. They play very similar games, and one, they're both very good. They're tall defensive midfielders that can dribble up the pitch. But going back to the attacking midfield role, having a young international player like Belotta on the bench is great. She doesn't have any professional experience, which is why I wouldn't say she'd start immediately over a player like Reis, who's played in so many top clubs around the world. But overall, good to have depth there. Also, Emma Jess Keniak, which is a great signing from them. She can play almost anywhere in the midfield, which I think is great. She has no pro experience yet. She was drafted by the Utah Royals, but she got injured during preseason, which is why she ultimately couldn't secure a roster spot with them, even though she was a second round pick, which is pretty high for the NWSL draft. And I think having a player like that off your bench, again, those using those skill sets, this depth is really great. They're one of my top teams in the league. Not to spoil the big reveal at the end of the episode where I say where I think they'll finish in the league, but good signings from that attacking midfield role, and I can't wait to see how they build out with the other wingers who we'll go to right now. And I think that the loney, the second loney of the squad alongside Sophie Braun, it will start on the right wing, which is Mackenzie Weinart. She hasn't actually been officially announced by the Zephyr yet, but they did mention her. The Rain did a post about her going there, so I'm just going to go off of their post because I trust the Rain. And overall, having a player on loan, usually if they go out on loan to a side, they're going to want to get consistent minutes and be one of the big players. And I think Weinert is going to do exactly that. She's experienced the Rain. She played a really good shift. She put a good shift in the Summer Cup against sides like Tijuana, which is good to see because it's nice to have players who have proven themselves at the top level of women's football in the North American kind of conference. I'm not going to dive too much into the NWSL versus Europe debate today, but having a player like Weinert, you can bring it on loan, is a really smart move from the side, just going a few hours from Seattle to go to the Spokane team, and overall just a good pickup, bringing in these players on loan who need the minutes and the Super League can provide them, and Spokane has done a really good job to bring two of those players in. Next, Taryn Reese, who's I think will be on that right wing role off the bench. She's another good young player, doesn't have too much pro experience, but she's a quick player on the wing, can do a good job at getting in behind, playing in those balls into the six-yard box, and that'll be a good option for them to have on the bench. Last but not least, moving on to the center forward role, if you know anything about me, you know who I'm going to say here. It's Riley Tanner. I hyped her up so much before the Panama side played at the World Cup, and I don't think I was wrong about that. She did a great job and qualifying for the World Cup, leading that Panamanian front line, and to have her in a Super League team is a really good move from the Zephyr side. She got cut from the Spirit, didn't actually ever appear from them really that often, I don't think at all in the regular season, so that was a really confusing move in my eyes from the Spirit to not give her that opportunity, but to pick up a player like that who's a proven goal scorer at the international level, just a dynamic player, great on the dribble, can cut inside really nicely and finish in the back of the net, she's a great signing for them. Moving on to the backup forwards, I think the main reason why Weinert was brought in on loan was because Alyssa Walker, who is supposed to be, in my eyes, one of the better players on this team, a leader, tore her ACL, which is really disappointing. She trained with the Thorns in the past. She'd experienced in Europe, was a player who I thought would easily start on that right wing side. I think now she'll look more centrally in that forward role. She could play either position, to be honest, but I just wanted to mention her because obviously, even though she's still injured, we're very sorry for her. Obviously, getting the opportunity to come home and then getting injured probably is not the best feeling because you move to a new club and you don't even get to appear for them. And we know how the ACL epidemic in women's soccer has been so widespread. So wanted to send our best wishes to Alyssa during recovery and give her that little shout out because she deserves it. She's such a good forward and I can't wait to see her back on the pitch. But the backup forward who will be available for this season, I think, is probably going to be Jenny Vetter, a proven finisher at the college level. She has all the skills, in my eyes, that it takes to score in front of goal. And I think that ability to have off the bench, even though she hasn't had that pro experience yet, having that in college, she'll be able to develop that under an amazing forward, Riley Tanner, and ultimately provide a little spark off the bench for the Zephyr side. That was the majority of our episode. Don't worry, we're about to end soon, but I wanted to give a little bit of a quick overview of the Super League kind of dynamics and how it works. So they don't really have any rivals, the Zephyr. This is a segment I was going to include for each team for a little fun because that's something we can predict easily. I don't think we talk a lot about rivalries being geographical. Like, for instance, like if you look in men's soccer in the MLS, the NYCFC versus Red Bulls is always a very fun rivalry. There's rivalries based on kind of state stuff, and I think we'll see that hint with Fort Lauderdale and Tampa. But I think it's going to be fun to see these rivalries be built organically based on the pitch and how these teams play. And I think for the Zephyr side, they're going to have one of the tougher schedules with travel, which is, I take into account that, by the way, when making these rankings because of the fact that they're so far widespread from all the other teams. So the only West Coast team in the league, that's the biggest thing I was very critical of when the inaugural markets were released, and there's been no real effort to add more, which is very disappointing in my eyes. But Yeah, I think that is going to be interesting. Their biggest competitors, in my opinion, not to spoil the rankings, this may not be the first place team, hint, hint. But I think Tampa Bay is the team that's kind of come out. It's not a surprise. I don't even have to keep it a secret. With them signing more players than any other team, they started signing six players before any team had even announced someone else. Today, as I'm recording this, they announced Kristen Edmonds officially, which is a great pickup for their back line. Such a quality team. They're another team. Them and the Zephyr are two of the teams that I think could easily compete at the NWSL level. I have a few more that I would add, but not going to spoil those in this episode. I think that's going to be a really good matchup to watch. It'll be like a kind of opportunity before the championship. That was not grammatically correct, but I'll leave it in there anyway. To see two of the league's best teams face each other. Every team plays each other in a home and home in the fall season, same thing in the spring season. So there's a lot of opportunities there to see every team get to face each other four times over the course of the whole season. It'll be interesting to see, though, how it works with the NWSL calendar still being spring to fall. After the fall season, if a player performs really well, for instance, they may be able to move over to the NWSL. So that's something to watch out for, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a different episode. This is Zephyr Focus. So I want to wrap it up by talking about kind of my predictions, but also a little bit about the community. I think we talk a lot about the USL Super League as an opportunity for more fans to get to see women's sports live, and the Zephyr do that. I was very critical in my primary episode on the Super League about how all the teams in their league are in a state that have an NWSL team, and it doesn't really echo their kind of motto of how we're trying to like spread women's soccer. But the Zephyr are very far away from Seattle, and I took a little Google Maps adventure. They're 5 hours away from the rain and storm, so this will be good for a community that's not that big. It's about 200,000 people to get, but it's still good to allow more communities to witness women's sports. And honestly, more women's sports is always a good thing. And as long as the leagues work together like they have been doing so far, if loans, and don't try and compete against each other, because let's be honest, when the NWSL's players like Nair, Smith, Rodman, it's going to be a hard fight for the Super League. Just using the Super League as a developmental league to give more communities a chance to watch women's soccer is going to be amazing for the sport, and I can't wait to see how the community can really get around this team and honestly just prove their support to women's sports. So I'm going to end this episode with my prediction for how the season's going to go. I talked a lot about the travel being a big thing for the side, and I think that's why they're going to have to really emphasize this honestly crazy rotation of the roster, because of the fact that they're the only West Coast team, which is really poor planning, by the way, from the Super League. So I'm going to have them finishing in that second or third spot. I'm going to lean towards second place. I think they'll be able to get through the travel issues, but that's a big problem for me. I think the way that the Super League is structured, I'm not going to dive too much into that to avoid going off course, but that's going to be a challenge that the Zephyr have to face, and that could definitely probably derail from the performance on the pitch. So overall, I think they're a really quality roster. We've talked about for this whole episode about how good their team is, and I can't wait to see them continue to grow. If you want to follow them, you can follow them on any of the social media platforms or go to uslspokane.com to take a look at their roster in its entirety. I can't wait for the season, and I am so happy that have this coverage of the league and honestly listen to you guys. So if you need any other leagues to be covered or want those leagues to be covered, please DM me after you follow me at the Women's Soccer Podcast of underscores in between each word on Instagram. Also follow me wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss a single episode of the show. Leave a 5-star review, please. And just give us a review. If you want to include a women's soccer related question in that review, I'll definitely answer it in either a reel, which you can find after you follow me. Sorry to plug my Instagram too much for the podcast. And yeah, just thank you so much for your support. I'm so excited for the season. Remember to continue supporting women's sports. And that's all for today. Thanks for listening, and peace out from your host, LDG. Bye. See you next time.